in. Aren't you proud of our young people? Let's give them a great big hand. Amen.
Woo!
How's that? I'll tell you, we've got some of the finest, and I'm not just saying this, some of the finest kids that I know. I got to know them real well when I worked with them for a while before their leadership came and started leading them. But I really do respect them, got a lot of love for them, and they certainly have shown their love for me. So I appreciate all these young folks, and I appreciate their leadership. God's given us some great leaders. I think about Sammy and Tina. You know, their kids have grown up, and yet they're still willing to work with these kids. And Mike and Dawn, and Mike, he's supposed to be at work, but he showed up here today. So, and Mike gave me the script that the kids were doing, and I really would, my heart got spoken to about that. So I want to share with you, and I appreciate Jonathan and Julian and all the people that work with our young people. TJ, you too, brother. Thank God for all of you. And we got a wonderful group of people here. Let's just encourage one another. I'm looking forward to this season of Christmas where we can celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thought the youth handled baby Jesus better than this little girl. I'm talking about God's little baby today. And so I want you to watch this clip. This was an actual nativity that took place last year. This was all caught on camera, and it ended up on quite a few television stations. So watch this, and I'm going to preach today on God's little baby.
It's a live nativity scene at a church in Tennessee. Uh-oh, 2-year-old Tegan, who's playing a sheep, seems to be fixated on the baby Jesus. So she takes him right out of the manger. That's when the 3-year-old playing Mary takes the doll and puts it right back. So far, so good. Then this happens. She puts Tegan in a headlock. Yikes. Tegan was really the star of the show. The crowd was eating this up.
The more that they laughed, the more entertaining she felt like she should be, and she was wanting to strut her stuff just a little bit.
Fear not. Peace was quickly restored.
I thought that had to be a Baptist church that we're fighting over Jesus. But anyway, y'all did much better. I'm very proud of you for handling Jesus correctly. But so when you think about God's little baby, what do you think about? I mean, my first thought is this. This is God's baby. This is just not any baby. I mean, when you think about it, God's baby. And yet, born of a woman. And that account is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And Matthew presents Jesus as king. So let's all stand up for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords as we read these three verses. Matthew 1, 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our young people today and their leaders and for the good job they did in leading us today and understanding who baby Jesus is. And I pray, Lord, that we'll understand today that you will use small things. You will use little things to accomplish great things, for you are a great God. And Father, I pray that none of us today will feel insignificant, but that we all are blessed to have the gifts that you've given us and that we can use them for your glory and honor. May we not miss you this Christmas season, oh God, especially in the little things. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be here today, helping us to interpret your word that God is with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, when I read the skit, my heart was spoken to. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Joseph and Mary and how something that was said that about Joseph and how Joseph felt very insignificant. You know, God likes getting into little things. The God of the universes, not just our universe, but all universes, got into a little baby boy. We call it the incarnation, that meaning that God became flesh. And what's so important here to understand is that he became a baby. Can you imagine that with me for a moment? That the God who created all things, God who's bigger than big, greater than the greatest, higher than the highest, King of kings, Lord of lords, chooses to become a little tiny baby. Think about that. God got into a little baby so that he could become one of us. And you know, Jesus said this. He was touched in every area as we are. Oh, God's always got into little things. Think about how God got into a little boy named David, and he defeated a great big giant called Goliath. Last week, we talked about the chess of Joash. Joash was only 9 years old when God used him to lead Judah and to lead him in that chess of Joash that we're going to talk more about. God got into a little boy's lunch, 5 loaves, and 2 fishes. And how many people got fed? 5,000. Don't tell me God can't do something. By the way, remember this. Little is much when God's in it. Little is much. Say that with me. Little is much when God's in it. God uses the little things in life. He was watching as people gave. And he said of a poor widow who only gave 2 mites, which was only about a penny. And this is what Jesus said as he watched, said, and she gave more than all that was in the treasure. You see, it's not how much money you have, it's what you do with what you have. And she gave her all, Jesus said. And then Jesus talked about a mustard seed, the faith of a mustard seed. What does the Bible say? The faith of a mustard seed, which is tinier than tiny, a little small thing, can move mountains. A lot of people think, oh, if I just had enough faith. But it takes just a little. Listen to this scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to conform the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God wrapped himself up in a little baby so that he could show us 3 things. Number one, his provision, God's provision. Well, the Bible says in Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son. And that's his first provision. God gave his son, not just any son, but the very Son of God, not just any baby. This was God's little baby. The angel said to Joseph in Matthew 1:20, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. God gave the very best he possibly could give when he gave his son. You know, John 3:16, would you say it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his only begotten Son. Only begotten means he was born out from God. Jesus is the perfect expression of who God is. Oh, what a baby he was. He was born a baby and he sustains the universe. Think about that a moment. He was born as a baby. At the same time, he sustains the universe. He was 30 years old, and he exists eternally. He was tired, and the Bible says he was omnipotent, meaning he had unlimited power. Listen to this one. He died, and he conquered death. He has returned to heaven, and he's present with us here today. It's amazing when you begin to think of this little baby, God's son, and how powerful that little baby laying in that manger was and is. And we will soon see just how powerful God he is. He's coming again. Folks, I'm telling you, Advent is about the coming of Christ. And we're not doing the Advent wreath today, but Miss Diane put these candles up here, and I want to use that in just a minute to teach you something, how that God can use that which is little to accomplish much. Not only a son has God provided, but a Savior. Somebody say amen. Thank God for a Savior. Amen. What a Savior. Notice what he says in Matthew 1:21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The name Jesus, do you know it means Savior? And it comes from the Hebrew word Joshua, which is Jehovah is our salvation. God's son, Mary's son, was called Jesus the Christ. The word Christ means anointed one. It is in the Greek equivalent to Messiah. He is Jesus the Messiah. Jesus is the human name. Christ is his official name. And Emmanuel describes who he is, God with us. Jesus Christ is God. And I know that you're sitting there thinking, boy, this sounds sort of confusing. I mean, here's a baby, here's God. We talk a lot here at the church about the work of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says they're three, but they're one. There's only one God. And the thing that you really want to get your mind blown, that you begin to think about his nature, and there's only one person, his human nature, because he became flesh, but also his divine nature. And so it's mind-boggling to think about all this. But listen, I'm describing God to you and how God has provided for you and I. He gave us his son, and what a Savior he's given us. If Jesus Christ were conceived and born just as any other baby, then he could not be God. If our greatest need had been information, God would have given us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness, and God sent a Savior. And that's what I want to preach about today. Jesus Christ, God's Son, Mary and Joseph. And here they are holding salvation. And I want to finish talking about God's provision, talking about salvation. For it says in verse 21, for he shall save his people from their sin. Salvation is my third point there. God's provision. God provided the means for salvation for all sin. So I'm teaching this little children's class right now, and one of the children asked this morning, well, why did Jesus die for our sin? I'll tell you why. To save us from an eternal hell. To save us from ourselves. Our problem is sin. Everybody has the same problem. You have a sin problem. I have a sin problem. By the way, none of us have arrived. I am saved, but I'm being saved. We've talked about that recently. Sanctification. Positionally, I am in Christ. But there's a process called sanctification. And I'm becoming more like him. And that's the whole thing. You know, this is something that's really bothering me today, is that in church, more and more do I see this happening, that churches are wanting God to become more like us. Yeah, that's where we are. We like to be entertained. We love our flesh. We want God to do something, you know. But you know what God wants to do in you? Look up here, folks. He don't want you to make him to become like you. He wants you to become like him. And that's why he became flesh. You know, the Bible says he was touched in every area as we are, yet without sin. Oh, yeah, he had to eat just like you had to eat. He had to sleep just like you had to sleep. Excuse me, he had to go to the bathroom. He had to do the same things anybody else had to do, and yet he never sinned. You say, well, he was God's son. Yeah, but tempted in every area as we are. I'll tell you, that gives us hope, and that's the second thing I want to talk about, and that's God's promise in verse 22. He is the person of hope. In verse 22, it says, now all this was done. What was done? Everything we read in verse 21, the person of hope, is all in Jesus. He is what Christmas is all about. He's what this church is all about. He's what the Bible is all about. He's what you and I are all about. Folks, we are about Jesus. So my first point under God's promise is the person of hope. And folks, there's a lot of people today that don't feel like there's any hope anymore. People are very discouraged today. They really are. People feel defeated. I guarantee you, there's a number of people here today that feel like, well, man, what am I going to do this Christmas? How am I going to make things happen? Well, folks, if we'll get our eyes off the material and get our eyes on the spiritual and recognize that the only one who can give you true hope is the person, Jesus Christ. No one else. You won't find it in things. I gave you the figures that, in fact, now I've learned that the figure was over $100 billion spent on Black Friday. You know why? Because we are so materialistic here in America. You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to fulfill a need. Really, we are. We're trying to buy love in America. And you can't buy love. The person of hope showed us what love is all about. That God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He presented Jesus Christ to us, the person of hope. We're reaping the seeds of the 70s and 80s that I came up with. We started with the whole idea in my generation. I saw this unfold. Now, I grew up, I was born in 1957. But anyway, I came up in the 60s and the 70s. Man, that was the time you let your hair hang out. I mean, if you had any. You just did whatever you wanted to do. And it was a time of disrespect. And you know what? Those seeds were sown, and now we're reaping them. We see it everywhere in our school system, even in our churches. I mean, people don't have any respect anymore for each other. We're seeing that more so than ever. Many have no hope. Well, we possess this hope. God lives in us, the person of hope. And church, let me say to you, and I'm going to say this every Sunday I can this month, we need to give this hope away. We need to invite others. We need to tell others what Jesus means to us and how He can make a difference, because little is much when God's in it. Then the promise of hope. He says in verse 22, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord. When the Lord had spoken it, you can depend on it. Now look at that verse. He says that the Lord, by the prophets, the Lord used the prophets. He uses Sunday school teachers. He uses a lot of little things to accomplish much. But the promise of hope is right here in His Word. Listen to what His Word says. And God always keeps His promises. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, people don't like to hear about sin today, and they don't like to hear about repentance. But until we acknowledge our sin and repent of them, we cannot be saved. Did you know that? God cannot forgive unconfessed sin, and God cannot forgive unrepented sin. You got to own up to it. You got to confess it. And then you got to turn from your sin to God's Word. He is the promise of hope. When Matthew was completing this gospel, he quoted the promise of his master. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And he said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Matthew 28:19-20. And then the prophecy of hope. I love this. The last part of verse 22. By the prophet saying. In other words, this was all fulfillment to Bible prophecy. Fulfilled prophecy is evidence of the reliability of Scripture. Friend, every word in this book has come true, or it's about to come true, and you can count on it. It's better than taking it to the bank. I'll tell you, the Bible says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. There are approximately 2,500 prophecies in the Bible, 2,000 of which already have been fulfilled. The prophecy found here in Isaiah 7:14, and I'm going to put it up on the screen. Look at this prophecy. Here's what he said. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. What was the sign? It was the virgin birth, that God would touch this young girl who, this is powerful, y'all, who was a virgin, listen to me, before God touched her and was a virgin after she got pregnant. Thought I'd lose you there, because this was God. You see, she didn't know a man, but when God touched her, it was a holy birth. Are y'all following my thinking here? You see, what was so powerful here was that there was no man, no sinful man involved here. This was all God. And God touched Mary, and Mary became with child.
She was having God's little baby. Not Joseph's, but God's little baby. That's powerful. And the prophet said this, the sign would be, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And then last, and I'm done, is God's presence. And I want to end talking about that today. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God's presence is here today. He is with us. How close is God to you? I'll tell you how close. Just as close as you want him. Amen? Some of you don't want God too close. You think, well, if I get too close to God, he'll show me my sin. Exactly. Which would be the best thing that could happen. I mean, the best thing that could happen today, you'll see a lot of folks, they're afraid of God's presence. What if God was to show up here today in a mighty way? It would mean that, yes, we would have to make some changes. Yeah, if God moved here today, God began to speak to your heart, you couldn't stay the same way you are and be in the presence of God. You couldn't do it. It's impossible. You couldn't be in the presence of God. What did Moses do? He had to take the shoes off his feet, for he was on holy ground. I'm here to tell you, friend, when you're in the presence of God, you know it. And by the way, if you've ever been in the presence of God, you long for it again and again and again and again and again. You just can't get over it. I'm talking about it's gooder than good. And it's sweeter than sweet. It turns to sugar. I mean, God's presence, it's a wonderful thing. Here's what I want you to see, the exhibition of his presence. Here we see the exhibition of the power and the presence of God. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. If God could have created the first Adam without a mother, then he most certainly could create the second Adam with a mother. The exhibition of his power and presence is that God showed up in a virgin. His power touched Mary, and this virgin was a virgin before God touched her, and she was still a virgin after God touched her. This was the sign Isaiah talked about. No man had ever been with her, and even after she gave birth to Jesus, she was a virgin until she married Joseph and had children. Listen, Matthew 1:25, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son. Joseph had never slept with Mary, but God touched her. And the Bible says, and he called his name Jesus. Little has been said about Mary's husband, Joseph. But I got something powerful out of this drama. I want y'all to follow this. This drama was a powerful drama. I'm going to tell you, when I read it, I never thought about this. But as I read it, it moved my heart. Little's been said about Mary's husband, Joseph, and oh, what a godly man he had to be. You see, he believed God. We can see the evidence of this. We can see the exhibition of the presence of God in his life in that, as one author put it, he lived together in holiness with her. The youth drama makes a profound point. In the drama, Joseph is beating himself up by saying, and I'm quoting from the script, I'm not a wonderful father. I mean, compared to the real father. And then Mary, in turn, says in the drama to Joseph, Joseph, God chose you to watch over him and be his daddy here on this earth. Wow, what a great truth. I mean, there's a big difference between being a father and a daddy. And here's Father God who impregnated Mary with his Holy Ghost power, and she's having his son, but she trusts Joseph, or God trusts Joseph, to be a daddy to Jesus. You see what I'm saying? He was the nurturer. He was there to help Joseph, I mean, to help Jesus and to teach him as a little boy. And can you imagine? You know, I love that song, Mary, did you know that what you're holding in your arms? Joseph, did you know as you were daddy to Jesus, how powerful that is? And what does that say to all the men here? Because we all feel sometimes we're a bunch of failures. We don't know how sometimes. Just because we're fathers don't mean that we're daddies. But you want to be a real daddy to your child, then I'll tell you, be a man like Jonathan. It's okay to share some tears. It's okay to get excited that your daughter knows how to give a Bible to somebody. We should allow our children to see us as real men who don't mind shedding some tears. By the way, the Bible says Jesus wept. A real man
knows how to humble himself. Hello, are y'all with me? Amen. And God is a real God because he humbled himself so much so that he was willing to become a little baby. And in that manger where Mary and Joseph was, what a powerful drama that is, that Mary says to Joseph, no, you can't be the Heavenly Father, but you can be a good daddy. And you know what? I'm challenging every man here today, whether you have children or you're planning to have children one day, you be a good daddy. You know how to be a good daddy? Just tell your kids every day you love them. Just do that. Just tell your kids. I'll tell you, they'll never forget. They'll never forget. And then show them that you love them. You know, it's not just getting a Christmas gift. It's being there for them, spending time with them. The exhibition of the power and presence of God. And then the evidence. It says in verse 23, and bring forth a son. The evidence of God's presence is found right here in the birth of his son and our Savior. The evidence that the presence of God is with us is right here in Jesus Christ who walked on this earth. Your creator became a part of the creation. Do you sense the presence of God in your life? God has come near to us. Years ago, an American astronaut climbed down a ladder and put his feet on the surface of the moon. And the president of the United States of America said this, the greatest event, he said, in human history is when man put his feet first upon the moon. And in all due respect for that president, the greatest event in human history was not when man put his feet on the moon, but when Almighty God put his feet upon the earth. That, my dear friends, the greatest event in human history, that God would love us enough to become one of us. And why a little baby? So that anybody can reach him. Not some king high up on a throne, high and lifted up. I mean, when we think of God, we think of one who is high upon a throne and he's way out in the universe somewhere, a great, big, mighty God. But here's this great, big, mighty God becoming a little baby. Why? So all could approach him. The shepherds could approach him. The wise men could approach anybody. For God so loved the world. And then he says, whosoever. Aren't you glad he said whosoever? That's you children sitting back there. I'm looking at you. I'm watching you kids. That's you youth up here. Don't you ever feel like you're insignificant? You've got a pastor that loves you, and I'll tell you, any Sunday you want, you can get up here. You say, preacher, this is not easy. No, but you took a stand for God today, and God's going to stand in you, and you're going to be blessed because you took a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm proud of our kids. I'm proud of our children. I tell you what, we need to brag. You know, I couldn't help out of the corner of my eye to watch JW this morning. Now, JW, he loves these young people. And so as soon as they started singing, you know who started clapping? JW. I mean, JW's already getting it on. And the rest of y'all started clapping. You said, preacher, church shouldn't be like that. Well, the Bible says clap your hands before the Lord. It's in Psalms. You know what? I'd rather see a senior member of our church. You know what he was really saying? I support you young people. I love the Lord, and I'm proud of you young people. I'm gonna get in with your groove now. I'm gonna jam with you today, okay? I'm gonna get into this music. You know what? I like it when the older people get involved with the young people. I love it when the young people, like they carried the widows out to eat. That was my favorite picture up there, by the way. When the youth engaged the elderly members of the church. And by the way, when you start looking at the widows like our deacons do, then that's when God's going to show his favor and blessing. God blesses it when we look after those who he's given to us to look after in his word. That's the evidence. That's the fact that God lives in us. Last thing is Emmanuel. And it says, and they called his name Emmanuel, being interpreted, God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. Adam walked with God. Jesus lives in us. Have you ever thought about it? In the Old Testament, listen to this one. You see, God was for his people. In the New Testament, God is with his people. Yeah. God is with us. He became one of us. We all understand what a baby looks like. I said at the beginning, God likes getting into things. Well, let me close by telling you how he got into things. He knows how to get into the Red Seas of life. Remember when he parted the Red Sea? You know, he knows how to get into the fiery furnaces. He knows how to get into the healing of the blind, the lame, the deaf, and even raising the dead. But when God got into a crib or a feeding trough, he showed us how much he really loved us. To become one of us, that is what Christmas is all about. In the context of this passage, when Joseph awakened from his sleep, as you read on down in this passage, two words fill his thoughts. Jesus, which meant Savior, and Emmanuel, which meant God is with us. United, they have one thrilling message. God has come to be with his people and to save them from their sin. God made a way in a manger to the cross. And that's why he was born. You know why he was born as a human being? You know why for 30 years he showed the evidence of humanity? So he could go to that cross and die in your place. Because you couldn't die on that cross. You've sinned. But he was without sin, so he took your sin debt. That's why we use the word redeemer and redemption, propitiation. Jesus did it all at Calvary. And God is with us. I'm so thankful for that. But I got something to show you today that's really burning on my heart. So I asked Miss Diane, could I do this? So everybody, would you just cut off all the lights for a minute? Somebody go over there and cut off all the lights. I want to show you one thing. And I'm going to challenge you. We always have done the Advent wreath. And so I'm going to challenge. This is going to be just one thing. And I know we got the Christmas lights on. That's okay. That's it. All right. What I want to show you is this. This is powerful. And it's an old match. And I should have tested it. I pulled them out of my desk drawer this morning, and they've been laying there for no telling how. I might have to get a match from somebody. Let me see. Hold on. Oh! I got it. All right, here we go. Here we go. Ah! I tell you what my problem is. I don't smoke.
I quit too.
Here. Like that for me. I'm going to get the cripple man to do it. Somebody got a lighter? Thank you, brother. But thank you. Try that. That'll work. Did you get it started? All right, the point I was going to make, that's one little light. That's one little light. Now, you know what? If that match, if I was to drop it, with all this confetti down here,
please don't drop it.
Please don't drop it. Now, listen, don't you ever say that you can't make a difference. Because that one little light lit that candle, and that candle's burning now. And the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Young people, you showed this church today what God means to you. You did. Did y'all know that? And by the way, girls, y'all sung really pretty. I mean, y'all need to be in the choir, you need to be singing on a praise team or something all the time. But the point is, there's a lot of folks who need hope. You know what? Maybe there's a reason I couldn't light these matches, because you know what? This is about like most of us. It's hard. We grow cold, and I don't know what's wrong with these old matches. They're old. They've been in my desk for a long time. And I just picked them up because they were there, and I said, well, I'll use those today, and they don't even work. They're rusty, that's right. But may it be said that none of us are not willing to let our light so shine. Because in John chapter 1, it tells us, instead of giving the Christmas story, John gives us that the light of the world came to us. So what I'm going to challenge you to do, I've just lit one candle. I'm going to ask that someone else come up with, I'm going to give you 3 minutes, okay? Whoever, some family I would ask. Normally we've done the Advent wreath, but I'm going to ask you to, as a family, come up and light one of these candles. Someone light one next Sunday. We'll wait and light the big one on the Sunday before Christmas. But there are 5 Sundays in this month. I've already lit one. There's 5 candles, okay? So we're going to light these candles, and this is what I'm after. I want us to tell God in lighting these candles what He means to us. And so this is what God means to me. He's the light of the world. He's provided a way. You see, this darkness here represents our sin. And who's in the dark? All of us are. But Jesus came to be the light of the world. I'm going to invite you right now. Will you come to His light? He loves you enough. He loved you enough to be born in a little manger. What child is this that He would come and be born so that He could die for you? He didn't just say, I loved you. He showed you on the cross. Father, I pray today that Your Holy Spirit would be here working in our midst. And that as we close this service out, that we'll recognize that while we may feel insignificant, we may feel small and little, and that we don't amount to much, and how could a great, big, powerful, loving God really care about our little problems and our little needs? Well, God, You do. So much so that You became that light for this dark, dark, dark world where many people today have no hope. I pray today that we as Your children will agree before we leave here that we're going to light up this world with Jesus. We're going to go out and we're going to wish people Merry Christmas, and we're going to tell them why we wish them Merry Christmas. We want to share the light of Jesus' love. And this little light can change this dark world. May we all let our light shine. I pray now Your Holy Spirit would be working here. If there's a person that don't know You and pardon forgiveness of sin, that they'll let go of their darkness and walk down this aisle to this light, the Lord Jesus Christ, and let Him change their lives. In Jesus' name I pray.